And you're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's time for If Music Could Talk, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful holiday weekend, whether you're celebrating Easter or Passover or Holi. Lots of different, and I'm sure there's several other holidays being celebrated at this time of year also. Just happens that a lot of religious and cultural celebrations coincide on this weekend, and partly due to the lunar calendar, I think. But anyway, today we will be playing all kinds of beautiful, wonderful music as normally. But we also have a special guest who will be featuring her music. That's Pooja Talwar. Did I say that right? And she is a ghazal singer and also singer of other different styles of music. And I'll let her tell you more about that in a little bit. But I want to let you know that you can go to the website here and get more information about the music that we'll be playing in the next 2 hours. And I want to let you know also that broadcast of WR is made possible in part by Don't Look Back, 2929 West Carey Street, Chorizo, Carnitas, Chicken Skin Tacos, and more. Don't Look Back, Mexican Restaurant in Careytown. That's 353-8226. And we'll start off with a song. This is Ishq Ap Be Awaila from the Chakwal Group and Misha Shafi from Coke Studio. Thank you. Okay, so that was some music from Coke Studio and a song called Ishq Ap Be Awalia, Awala. And that was Chakwal Group and Misha Shafi. And don't know what the title of that is, but if you know, you can give me a call here at the station at 649-9737. That's 804. And if you're listening online, thanks for tuning in this evening also online. So again, I want to tell you again, we have a special guest in the studio. That's Pooja Talwar, and she is a singer. And I'm very, very happy to have you here in the studio this evening. Thanks for coming in. Can you reach that mic? I can probably
get a little closer
to you. Okay. So how are you this evening?
I am great. Thanks, Carl, for having me here. It's been a nice day today. We played a lot of holy colors and a lot of people there. So it took a long time for us to recover from all the colors.
But I'm sure it's hiding somewhere.
It is. Some of it is hiding in my nails, and I tried to get it off as much as I could, but...
So much fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really sad that I missed it. Yeah. And as I was just explaining to you, I was moving today, but really heartbroken that I couldn't make it to the Holi celebration. And for those of you who are listening, if you don't know what Holi is, you can look it up online and get all kinds of information about the Festival of Color. That's Holi, H-O-L-I. And Pooja just went to a celebration of Holi at the Hindu Center in Glen Allen, Virginia today. Right before she got here. So she was, I guess you were trying to get all that color off of you. And then also yesterday there was a big Punjabi Mela, a festival, Punjabi festival that you sang at, right?
Yes.
Okay, how'd that go?
That went really well. They had a very enthusiastic crowd. There were about, I would say about 600-700 people. And it was very well organized. They had a lot of Bhangra dances and competitions. VCU was the winning team. They had a competition, so
they're great.
Yeah, they were awesome, and it was my pleasure to perform over there. They're very good listeners, and we had a group of some other people as well who actually showcased the Indian culture wearing the outfits while I sang.
Oh, wow.
It was a song dedicated towards marriage in the Indian way. So the bride, the groom comes.
Shadi?
Shadi, yeah. Yes. So the groom comes and grabs the bride and, you know, takes her away. That was the song.
Okay. What's the name of the song in the...
It's the song Heer from Jab Tak Hai Jaan.
Okay, I've heard that one. Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the one. I prepared the track for it at home, and then I took the harmonium and played it on the stage. So that went really well.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that also, but it seems that you've been performing a little more regularly lately. Are you picking up more... events?
Yeah, it's just, it's been a busy year for me since the beginning. I guess since the end of last year, it's been very busy. I just performed, before this one, I had a performance in Richmond for the APNA, APPNA. That's the Pakistani Physicians Association.
Oh, right, right. That was two weeks ago?
That was probably 2 weeks ago, I think. And that went really well as well. That was mostly dedicated toward ghazals.
Right.
And that's my main genre that I perform.
Okay. So when did you first start singing and learning specifically classical style singing, ghazals?
Well, since I was eight, I had this inkling towards singing, and I used to hum a few songs here and there. So my dad, he saw the talent, and he thought that he could do, you know, I could do something if I got training in Hindustani classical music. And that's like the basic of Indian music. If you want to sing something, make it big. I think it's essential for someone to be trained classically. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a classical base and formal training always helps. The voice, your knowledge, and I played the harmonium at the same time. So I started learning singing and playing the harmonium at the same time when I was
from
eight.
From the age of eight, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's pretty common for young people to start off, for classical singers at least, to start off young, or at least it's ideal.
Start off young, but at the same time, I think when that was probably about 25 years ago when I started, and my Guruji, he said, Vijay Singh Chauhan, who started teaching me, he said it's probably, you know, 7 or 8 is probably the age when you should start learning, because mm-hmm. that's when you get more of the attention span.
Right.
If you're younger, you might have, you know, the talent, but you might not have the attention span. The child might not just, you know, sit down and learn for about 30 minutes or so. But you need at least 30 minutes of instruction when you start
to get anything out of it. Yeah.
Right.
And but you had the attention span, and
I did, and my dad made sure that I did.
Right, not gonna waste anyone's time, especially the guru.
Yes. So my dad actually had learned music himself. He used to play the tabla with me.
Oh wow!
And so he had the discipline on how to follow and practice every single day. Mm-hmm. He used to wake me up at 5 a.m, make me practice.
Wow.
Classical music, and not just, you know, the music, just the notes themselves. So that builds resistance, that builds the, you know, the breathing exercises and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So that really, it wasn't too much fun when I was a child, but it paid off in the long run. Yeah.
Those are the fundamentals.
Those building blocks. So sometimes kids might feel that, you know, it's too repetitive. Mm-hmm. We have to keep practicing the same thing, sarigama pada nisa, every single day. And why, you know, do I have to do this? Mm-hmm. But
and when is it going to get more exciting?
Exactly. When am I going to learn songs? And when am I going to perform on stage? And that's the other thing. My parents never pushed me to, you know, let's get on stage right now. You know, it's been 6 months you've been learning. I think it's time you get on stage. Mm-hmm. No.
When you were ready.
Right. When I was ready, and plus they didn't want it where, you know, once you get on stage, it's either stage fright or it's the opposite.
Too enthusiastic.
Too enthusiastic, and then it gets in your head that, oh, I'm a star. I can, you know, whenever I get on stage, I can just sing, or
don't have
people
to practice.
Are going
to,
yeah. And then that's when I think your the level of respect for music or as a student, I think your life kind of ends because you feel that you know everything and you're not ready to learn more.
Right. So, but you, when did you start performing? I mean,
I started performing much later after I finished college.
Okay.
So that's when I finished all of my music instruction. Not finished. I think music is an ongoing learning process, but I did get a degree in music, which is called the Sangeet Visharad, and that's bachelor's in Hindustani music.
Okay. And where did that degree come from?
That was from Gandharva University. That's Gandharva is mainly based in Banaras, the headquarters, and they have these learning centers all over in India.
Okay.
That's where you can get certified, and they have writing material as well.
Wow.
That you get tested on, and
composition.
Yes, compositions,
reading.
And different ragas. You've got to know about at least cover about 65 ragas by the time you're done.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
They take it really seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So did you live, did you say Banaras?
I lived in Bombay.
Okay,
yes.
Bombay. And when did you move to the States?
To the States, I moved in 1999.
Okay.
Yep.
And you're currently based here in Virginia.
Yes.
And, well, we're really lucky to have you here. And hopefully I can share some of your music this next hour or two here, however long you want to stay.
Yeah.
So you have two CDs here, and I'm going to ask you more about the music and get you to talk more about this this style of music. But first, I'm going to just ask you to introduce the first track on this the gold CD that mm-hmm. you gave me.
That is a very personal favorite of mine. It's called Aaj Jaane Ki Zid Na Karo, mm-hmm. which means in English, if I would translate it, it's Please Don't Go. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a ghazal sung by a legend. Her name is Farida Khanum.
Okay.
She is big time ghazals. I mean, anybody who listens to ghazals must know her.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, I really look up to her on some of the things that she has rendered. So that's one of my favorites that I perform almost in all my concerts.
Okay.
And it's based on Rag Yaman Kalyan.
And what is that?
That's a combination of notes. Mm-hmm. So a rag is basically a combination of notes that you make a composition based on.
Right, right.
So if it's...
And those intervals in the sare gama.
Right, and then they're flat and sharp notes that make up the whole rag together.
Okay.
So this one's based on rag yaman, where it's probably a sharp ma, if you would, you know, anybody would know.
And for the listeners, those names of the notes are...
Sare gama. Dhanisa. So they're all the notes together, but what kind of notes? They're either flat or sharp. So in this case, we have a sharp ma.
Ma, yeah. And that would be like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Right, exactly.
Sort of like that. I know the notes and the intervals are different, and there's a different tradition there. Mm-hmm. But for listeners, that's kind of what they're doing mm-hmm. is...
And the flow of notes, is how they flow. So, I mean...
So that raga has a certain flow, a specific flow that you know when they say that mm-hmm. that name.
Yep. So when I sing and I improvise while I'm singing, I know if I know what raga it is, it makes it easier.
Mm. Very interesting. Well, why don't we hear that one? And that's, again...
Aaj Jaane Ki Zid Na Karo.
You're listening to If Music Talk. This is Pooja Talwar.
हाय मर जाएंगे हम तो लो
handmade. शायर कहता है कि वक्त की कैद में जिंदगी है मगर वाकई में वक्त की कैद में हॉल कितने बजे वापस कर पूरी रात वक्त की कैद में
That was Pooja Shal Tawar singing a ghazal there. Beautiful, beautiful performance there. And live in concert, actually. That was a live recording. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about growing up and you know, beginning to learn and get some training in this. So you've been studying ghazal singing for over 20 years now.
Yes.
Performed in various parts of the world, all over the world, I guess.
Almost.
Well, at least a few different countries.
Yes.
And now are doing not only private events, but also public festivals here. How do you choose the songs that you perform for your sets?
That's an excellent question. A lot of times my husband asks me the same question because he plays the tabla with me.
And what's your husband's name?
His name's Amarjeet Talwar.
Okay, right.
And he accompanies me on the tabla every single time, mm-hmm. any performance. I don't see myself doing anything without him when
right.
it comes to singing performances because he controls all the sound and not just the tabla. He controls, you know, the sound and how it sounds in
yeah.
every single program is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing that we both are very picky about how it sounds because
mm-hmm.
it's not just about, you know, how much you know, how well you can sing, but how it gets across to people.
Definitely.
That's something
some people miss sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times I've heard, you know, very, very talented singers and very well, you know, trained, but
the microphone's sound, too loud, or right,
and
feedback.
It's just not the right sound, and that's what the people remember. They don't remember, you know, how well the person is actually talented or
their learned. Technicality or
right,
anything.
Right, they, exactly.
It's the overall,
yep.
the complete picture.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that picture is colored by the sound, the way the sound is mixed.
Right.
And the speakers are set up. So your husband handles that as well as playing the tabla.
Right.
And you guys are a team.
Yes.
In many ways.
Yes.
And you're playing the harmonium.
Yes.
Right. So that's another thing. It's kind of mind-boggling is how you can be singing these amazing melodies that some of them very complex, mm-hmm. and also playing a melody on the harmonium
on
at
the
same time.
Yeah, I think it's a ongoing practice for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in our practice sessions, I would just practice the harmonium, mm-hmm. and not sing at all.
Right.
So that, you know, builds it up. I also sit down and practice, just put on some song or a ghazal,
mm-hmm.
and play with it.
Play the harmonium.
Play
with
the harmonium,
yeah.
with it, and try to improvise with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it just builds up.
And we were talking earlier about the ragas and how these ghazals are based on certain ragas.
Mm-hmm.
Is there room for improvisation within that structure?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. With the ragas, like I said, if you know that a ghazal or a song is based on a particular rag, you can definitely, if you're a person who has learned music formally, mm-hmm. like classical music, definitely, you know, it's in your head. Like, for example, if I were to sing Aaj Jaane Ki Zidna Karo today or tomorrow at another concert, mm-hmm. I would not repeat what I sang or how I sang at my older concert, because I wouldn't even remember what I did. It's just off the fly.
Yeah.
I would improvise it right there. There are some things that I would remember that I've done in the past, and I would do those, but mostly when it's the word improvisation means you do it right on the fly.
Yeah.
And
certain, there's parts of these songs, I guess I'm curious how the lyrics are structured.
The lyrics
and,
are...
And before we get to that, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I think, I mean, if you could, just for people who don't know much about ghazal and the word and the tradition, where do ghazals come from and what is this tradition that we're talking
sure,
about?
Sure, that's an awesome topic.
It's
ghazal,
a big topic
basically,
too.
Basically, the meaning of ghazal is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And the word ghazal is Urdu for poetry.
Mm-hmm.
It was generally it's just romantic, but there are other flavors to it as well. It's fun based. It's sad. You know, there are sad ghazals. There are ghazals on like I said, romance or separation or all kinds of feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you talk about the technicality of a ghazal, usually there are two lines that make a pair of a verse, and the next two lines do not have any connection with the first two lines, as in they don't form a story.
Right.
Like in a song, if you listen to a song, it's like a whole theme.
Right.
That this song is about blah. You know,
yeah,
it's about
blank.
A bride and a groom,
yeah.
and, you know, they went to whichever place, and, you know, like a story, just a generic story.
I see.
In ghazal, it's, first of all, the lines have to rhyme at the end of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
The first line and the second line have to rhyme. And then the following lines do not have to have any connection with the previous lines.
Right.
They are totally a separate thought.
Mm-hmm.
And
not
connection.
A continuous story as
right.
those others
exactly.
might be. So tend to be a little more abstract or at least...
Right. So that what that does is that leaves the audiences kind of, connected and hung up,
mm-hmm.
sort of, that,
like,
oh, what's she going to sing next?
Wow.
So what's the next line going to be, you know, that kind of thing.
Actually, and at our mutual friends, Mona and Salman's
mm-hmm.
house, when you sang there, that was the first time that I'd ever heard you sing. I had heard ghazals, but I don't think I had ever been to a real proper ghazal performance where you know, there's pillows and chai and,
yeah,
and you know, you sit down and I guess you guys tuned up a little bit first and and then started, and there's a whole process of that concert as it progressed. I noticed the audience members really getting pretty riled up sometimes, yes, at some certain lines, as you were just saying.
Right.
It's completely surprising and really you know, very seemed very entertained by some of the words that you were singing and
right,
and sometimes yelling out, you know, wah wah.
Right, right. Yeah. So that appreciation actually of ghazals, it's very, I would say it is for a dedicated crowd that actually understands what it is. So ghazal is not for everyone.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not something that you can never understand. I mean, you can develop once you listen to it over and over and over, and if you have the interest, you know, in to dig in it and listen to different singers, different performers. That's how I developed the interest. I remember I sang my first ghazal when I was probably 10 years old, and my mom and dad were totally blown away. They did not expect it because my Guruji taught me the first ghazal. And after that, I started listening more and more to Jagjit Singh, Chitra Singh. And I performed my first performance, actually, not a professional, but it was at somebody's place. And Chintu Singh, you might have heard of him. He's a very renowned guitar player. So back then, when I was 10, I sang this ghazal, Raat Bhi Neend Bhi Kahani Bhi, sang by Chitra Singh, with Chintu Singh on the guitar.
Wow.
So he was probably, I think, thrown away. He was like, I don't understand how this 10-year-old can sing a ghazal.
Oh,
and
wow.
Does she even understand the words? So he was
impressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because he, you know, he kept playing and the right chords. And I was obviously playing the harmonium back then as well.
Wow. What a great experience as a young
singer. Yes, it was. And
that
stays with me forever. I keep thinking about that day all the time.
Well, we're gonna have to look up some songs by him, maybe to play in later in the program here. And then for an audience that sort of gets it and knows this tradition, there's a little bit of crowd interaction sometimes, or at least, you know, polite appreciation as you're going through those different lines. That and does this tradition go back to any sort of, you know, court entertainment of royal people, or is it?
Yes, it does. Actually, it originated from the Rajas, Maharajas, in you know, very, very old times.
And singers were given great respect.
It was a very
respect.
Prestigious thing to be singing. Ghazal was very, you know, it is still, but at that time it was very, very prestigious.
Yeah.
And that's how it evolved over time. And the old times, it was, I think, much more complex Urdu. Words, that the choice of words, the writers, because they used to understand that, and that's how it originated. But now, to get it to make it more understandable and get it through to the common man, there are some writers that write amazing shayari. It's called shayari, poetry, shayari, ghazal, same thing. So
right.
They write amazing, you know, some of them are really, really amazing and very easy to understand for common people as well. And that's something that Jagjit Singh, my other teacher, he did before he left this world, is to pass on, you know, make ghazal very, very easy to understand through his compositions and through his choice of poetry.
And you studied with Jagjit Singh?
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Later on, after
it's an incredible
I graduated.
Honor.
Yes, it is absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of fans of him.
I mean, there's, I think, millions, I would say.
Yeah.
Millions and
millions.
And
when he passed away, there was a real outcry of grief.
It was.
I mean,
and I
lost,
I remember,
someone very special.
Yes, very, very special. And I think I got a good 1 or 2 years of wow. training with him and his guru sister, Geeta Prem. I say guru sister because they both learned from the same teacher while they were in the learning stages. So she lives back in Bombay as well. So I got a chance to learn from her and him at the same time. I did have a chance to even perform with him at some of my bhajan concerts, some of his bhajan concerts. Bhajans are devotional music.
And so, you sing those also?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the other styles besides ghazal and bhajan?
I would do ghazals, bhajans, old Hindi film songs.
I love those.
I have some, you know, Madan Mohan is one of my very favorite music directors from the old times. I do sing a few new Sufi kind of songs, sung by Rahat Fateh Ali as well.
Incredible.
Right. And then I do sing some different languages as well, like Gujarati, Marathi.
Okay.
So, you know, India has lots of different languages. So
yeah,
it's not easy to... I have also explored Punjabi recently. So I'm not very good at talking, but when it comes to singing, I do manage to get by.
Well, as a singer, and especially in this tradition, you kind of have to be multilingual. And you're interpreting, you know, not just thoughts, but, you know... I mean, poetry in all these different languages, and you're the person that's bringing those ideas to your audience, and it's a very unique trade or profession to have, as well as what other, you know, day-to-day profession that you have. But it's I guess, would you say it's a calling that, you know, you were called to sing here, and it's something that I guess it's a very important thing to your life.
Yes, it is. And there's a thin line where you have to sort of, an artist has to put their foot down that this is what I'm going to sing and this is what I'm not going to sing. Because there's sometimes there's a diverse crowd that you want to make sure, you know, you can't make everyone happy, but that at the same time, there's something for everyone.
Right.
So a good artist will actually, you know, prepare different flavors and put together, you know, a concert where there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Something at the same time,
something really deep and heavy and sad,
and something fast, something slow, but at the same time not, you know, overstepping their boundaries.
Right, right.
So if I were to sit here and sing, you know, Chamak Chalo.
Right. Yeah, that would
not
be out of
sound good.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad.
It's a great song.
It's a great song, but I don't think I would do
justice
to it.
Are you the best singer to be singing that?
No. Well. And that's what I'm trying to say is there sometimes people get confused as to, okay, we have a singer, so we're going to send her a list. This is what we want her to sing. And
but you might be able to sing Kajrare. Just
probably
not Chamak Chalo.
Probably hum it, but not sing it in a concert. But there might be some songs like, you know, what was that song by Rahat? It was very famous. Tere Mast Mast Donen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, songs like those.
Just beautiful.
Very light numbers. I might be able to sing that. Because that kind of blends it with my gaiki. Gaiki means the style of singing. The way, you know, you play around with notes. Improvisation again.
This is very interesting. I mean, it's there's a certain way of thinking about music and singing that is, I guess, unique to this tradition. And the gaiki you just said. And I don't know if all singers think in this way about their singing if they are not trained in ghazal singing. But it's very interesting to hear you explain these things. And want to let people know, also remind them that you're listening to If Music Could Talk on WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. Our special guest here tonight is Pooja Talwar. And why don't we play another of these tracks from one of your CDs? And then I was actually looking for a Madan Mohan song Maybe you can tell me one of your favorites, and we'll find that and play it for sure. Listeners later. But this second CD is a home studio recording.
Right.
But you and your husband produced it.
Yes.
And how old is it? Is it brand new?
It is fairly recent.
Okay.
I actually composed the track on my synthesizer. It's formally sung by Chitra Singh, mm-hmm. in one of their very old and the first digital album that Jagjit Singh came out with, that was called Beyond Time. Mm-hmm. And that was fabulous. When you get a chance, just, you know, if you want to listen to it.
Beyond Time by
Beyond Time.
Jagjit Singh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their compositions are just fabulous. He has incorporated Western instruments into that album with, you know.
Ustad Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan did that a lot, too.
Yes, he did that a lot, too, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I think in ghazals, Jagjit Singh is probably the only one that started that.
Oh, actual ghazals,
right,
with
into
ghazals, modern.
Yes.
Yeah, wow,
so that,
cool.
That really got the younger generation involved into ghazals and listening
to
ghazals. So this particular ghazal that you're about to listen is called Labe Khamosh. It was sung by Chitra Singh, and one of my very, very favorite compositions. I would recommend a very quiet environment with, you know, earphones for that. Just sit down and listen to it.
I think maybe tonight is perfect for this.
Thank you.
right. You're listening to If Music Could Talk on WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. And we've been playing music by special guest Pooja Shah Talwar here tonight on If Music Could Talk. And thanks for listening, everybody. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Easter, Passover, Holy Weekend. And thanks for listening to WRIR, your community, nonprofit, non-commercial radio station, radio for the rest of us. So Pooja, you were just telling me about this South Asian Film Festival where you're going to be featured as a special artist.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, that's it's going to be a Ghazal night by me on Saturday, May 11th.
Okay.
The film festival is throughout the weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whole weekend affair. But they've given me about a couple hours on Saturday evening to perform at the Crown Plaza Ballroom. And the very, I guess, the very well-known Mr. Farooq Sheikh, the actor, is going to be introducing me.
Oh, wow.
Because he's going to be reciting a few poems.
That's him right there.
Right. That's him. And
Mr. Julie Chawla?
Yeah. They're all actresses, actors in the Bollywood films that you see.
Man, I'm excited.
So, yeah,
I'm really excited.
Plan on being there. I think they're going to post more information about tickets and stuff. And you can buy tickets online on their website and plan to be there. You get to see a lot of movies that day.
Sounds really fun.
Yes.
The website for listeners, dcsaff.com, and that's happening in Rockville, Maryland at the Crown Plaza Hotel. More information is available at that website, dcsaff.com. And Pooja will be performing on May 11th. That's a three-day festival in May. So that's really exciting.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So I have been actually invited to walk the red carpet with all the celebrities on Friday, the opening night, and I'm very, very excited about that. The sponsors that are actually doing this festival, I think this is probably the second or third time they're doing it. They do it once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They heard me at my Virginia Beach concert last month.
And said, we got to get you to perform. That's, wow.
Right.
Well, music speaks for itself, and obviously they were impressed. So I hope everyone out there is also enjoying the music they're hearing. I know I am. Really appreciate you coming up and explaining all this really interesting information about this beautiful and long tradition of Ghazal. It's interesting, too, how you were talking about the various different singers and as you were exploring this tradition, mm-hmm. You were listening to various different singers, and each of them had their own style.
Yes.
And do you feel you've developed your style to a point where people recognize Pooja Shah Talwar?
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And that's my goal eventually, and that's something I always keep in mind when I'm performing, that I do not, you know, end up copying an artist mm-hmm. while I sing their ghazal. Or because there are some ghazals that have been sung by the same ghazal that's been sung by so many different artists,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds different
right.
every single time. So I want to be one of them that, you know, it's Pooja singing the ghazal, so you can tell that it's her, it's not, you know, someone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this song that you were telling me, Rasme Ulfat,
mm-hmm.
Tell me more about this one.
This is a very, I would say, complex, at the same time, interesting composition by the old-time Madan Mohan.
Wow.
It was in a movie. I can't remember what movie it was, but it's based on Rag Madhuvanti. And it's, again, the combination of notes, the different combinations, and that's what makes it very interesting to listen to.
I love Madan Mohan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's various movies that I've watched with music composed by him that just, it sticks with you like forever. I mean, when you get one of those songs in your head,
yeah.
it's those.
And he always went for complex compositions. He never made something very easy to. So it wasn't really. It wasn't really for the masses. It was for connoisseurs or connoisseurs, you know, people who are very into music.
Well, Madan Mohan, a composer for music connoisseurs, and you're gonna let's play this Rasme Ulfat composed by Madan Mohan, sung here again by Pooja Shah Talwar.
Thank you.
That one is Rasme Ulfat, and it's on YouTube, and you can actually watch that one while you're listening to it. Rasmeulfat, and that's, of course, Pooja, Poojaa, and that's on Pooja Shal Talwar's YouTube website there, so YouTube page. Let's see, what else were we going to talk about? I think it'd probably be good for us to continue with the music. And that third live track that you had, what was that one again?
That's Chupke Chupke, sung by Ghulam Ali. That's the other legend that I look up to, and some of his ghazals.
Ghulam Ali.
Ghulam Ali, mm-hmm. And there's also a very, very legendary Mehdi Hasan.
Actually,
Jagjit Singh actually followed him in the beginning before he formed himself. So
let's play that song, and then after that, let's play a song by Jagjit and Chitra Singh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so.
Chupke, chupke, raat din. शादी को 25 साल हो गए तो उन्होंने सोचा कि भाई बहुत आर्ग्यूमेंट्स हो रही हैं, शादी कुछ ठीक नहीं चल रही है, तो वही रिजॉर्ट बुक करते जहां हम शादी होते ही गए थे 25 साल पहले, उसी रूम को बुक करके गए वो। तो सामने वही पेड़, वही सीनरी, अच्छी ऐसी सीनरी, तो खड़े खड़े दोनों गुफ्तगू कर रहे हैं, चाय पी रहे हैं, पेड़ को देख रहे हैं। तो उनको लगता है कि ऐसा करने से शादी ठीक हो जाएगी, तो वहीं खड़े हैं। तो वहाँ पेड़ की डाल पे एक तोता मैना बैठे, तो शौहर कहते हैं, नहीं बीवी कहती है, बीवी कहती है कि देखो 25 साल पहले हम आए थे तब भी उनमें कितना प्यार था, आज भी उतना ही प्यार है। तो शौहर कहते हैं, तुम ठीक से देखो, तोता वही है, मैना नहीं है।
That was Chupke Chupke, very famous ghazal song by Pooja Shah Talwar, who is our special guest tonight, as well as Amarjeet Talwar on tabla. And I know Amar is listening, so thanks for calling in, Amar. I'm glad you're picking up the broadcast here, and thank you for your music also. Pooja, please tell the audience about the joke that you were making in the middle of that song that got the whole audience cracking up.
Well, it's not a very, you know, complex thing or something that is very unique. It's a very simple joke about a couple that they're probably 25 years into their marriage, and it's not working out very well. They're arguing, and, you know, so they think that they want to go to a resort they went to right after they got married and spend some time over there.
Relive
the whole time, and things might get better. So they end up doing it. They go to the resort, and they go to the same room and, you know, the same scenery outside, and there's a tree in front of them. They're just sipping tea in the morning and seeing the tree. And there's two birds on there. So the wife, she says, look, they're still so much in love as they were 25 years ago when we came.
Right.
They were still the same way,
same,
and they're still the
birds.
Same.
Yeah.
So learn something, you know. And then he's like, well, you want to look closely because he's the same guy, but she's the new girl.
It's a different bird.
Different
huh?
bird.
You took a break there in the middle of this long, beautiful ghazal to tell a joke. That's a real interesting way to break it up and keep the audience engaged.
Yeah,
in a way,
it's because it kind of I think the words of the ghazal, the last two lines of it that I was singing, it inspired me to connect that joke.
I see.
The lines.
Yeah.
So
and Chupke is silently.
Silently.
So. I guess part of those lyrics are talking about someone crying silently.
Yeah, so it starts off as a sad ghazal, mm-hmm. but in time it's just about going down memory lane,
mm-hmm.
remembering all the things. So it's basically guy oriented, and he is actually remembering his, you know,
former lover.
Or whoever, and things she used to do. Like, you know, biting a finger or, you know, doing the, I guess, how would you explain that in English?
Braids?
Draping the sari over her head and, you know, like...
All of her charms.
Feeling shy and all of those, you know, the very traditional Indian acts, so to speak.
Right. And all the things that he loved about her are no longer there.
Yeah,
I guess,
are no longer there.
Gone.
So he remembers that I remember... you know, us meeting at a very a place very silently, very secretly. We used to meet, and you know, good times we had together and stuff. So that prompted the joke.
That's another thing I love about this form of music is how it combines poetry and really just. Sophisticated literature mm-hmm. with music. It's like I think I was reading at one point there were a lot of famous Sufi poets who would write lyrics for these songs, like Rumi and Hafiz, and just a long line of famous lyricists who if you're into literature, you may have heard these guys' names, these famous poets, Sufi poets' names from books, but actually it's even better to hear it sung. And if you understand the language, wow, you know.
Yes, and that's one thing that all of my, I think, my gurus, they stressed on, which was understanding the language, mm-hmm. Urdu, before you even decide to sing ghazal.
Right.
Because a lot of times we sing things we don't understand, and then it doesn't justify the feeling of the word,
mm-hmm.
Let alone improvising. Because
right.
if you don't understand the word, you won't be able to, you know. And that's one thing that I took very seriously was to learn the language, Urdu, I learned to read and write as well.
And was that in music school?
That was actually back in India. I had a teacher come home and teach me how to read and write. That was Mirza Hifazat Mirza, his name was. And he was the principal of a school back then in India.
A beautiful language.
So it is, and very the complex classic. At the same time.
Very old language.
Yes. So. And the writing is completely different. The dialect is completely different. When they, you know, some of the words, because it comprises of Farsi, a little bit of Farsi, a little bit of Arabic, and a little bit of Hindi.
So
Urdu is not like an original language. It has parts
of... It's a combination of... Yeah.
So,
but it's the language of poetry.
Yes, and it's very polite, a very respectable, I'd say, way of you know, expressing.
Yeah.
Through words.
Right.
And that training really helped me with my ghazal.
I'm sure it did. Opened a whole new world to actually understand Urdu and.
So in my pronunciations, in my singing, it shows, and there are a lot of Urdu crowd here in Richmond.
Oh, cool.
That appreciate that, which is really cool.
So when will our listeners be able to hear you perform next? I mean, besides the thing in May, do you have any other concerts?
I do have something in April, but unfortunately that might not be in Richmond.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Probably going to be up north in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
And then in May I have this big event where I think there are some people that are looking to go from Richmond as well. So the South Asian Film Fest, that is something people are planning to attend.
Right.
So I'd encourage...
It's not that far.
Yeah, it's not that far at all.
And also for people listening, if you want to keep up with Pooja Shah Talwar, you can look up her Facebook page also. It's
facebook.com/Pooja Shah Talwar.
So facebook.com/ Pooja Shah Talwar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's hear a little bit of music for the underwriting. And I'm going to tell you, everyone listening, that portions of today's programming are made possible by producer-director Jerry Williams, a.k.a. TV Jerry. Since 1980, Jerry has been working with local and national clients to produce creative media, including DVDs, webcasts, commercials, and long-form videos. For the past 13 years, TV Jerry's website, Tales from the Grips, has featured news and dirt of Richmond's production community, as well as movie reviews at tvjerry.com. And also, support for WIR comes from listener donations and from Style Weekly, presenting RVA Earth Day on Saturday, April 20th, from noon to 7 p.m. in Manchester. More information is on the web at styleweekly.com. So thanks to our underwriters. Thanks to you, the listeners, for listening and keeping us on the air. We just had a very successful fun drive. So again, thank you for donating and keeping WRER alive and healthy and strong. And if you want to make a donation at any time during the year, besides our fun drive, you can always go to WRER.org and make a donation. Or if you're just interested in what we're playing, that's a good place to find the information, such as the songs that we've been playing in the past hour and a half here. WRER.org. Just look for If Music Could Talk. That's where I'm posting the song titles. So I'll let this song here finish, and then we'll get into a song by Jagjit, the late great Jagjit Singh and Chitra Singh. We'll play a duet by them. But right now is a song here is Pharoah Sanders, and this is from the Save Our Children album.
Thank you. har baxam ak mayam mani dom yu bax ya mu jur mané su ko xam bo wër ko ñun xam nañu fu ñu joggé ñun xam nañu suñu bop ken dootu ñu su fel ndax ñoko doron dem
It's a little Pharoah Sanders, Save Our Children. And we're going to get back into the guzzles. How about off of this one?
You can play track two on that one.
Okay.
And that's another guzzle by Chitra Singh. It's called Aapko Bhool Jaye Hum.
Okay.
And she sang that one in their another very, very famous album called Echoes by Jagjeet and Chitra Singh. And Those are more live performances that they've done.
Okay.
And this is from my live performance as well.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
شعر ہے
Incredible. Wow. So this next one, as you were explaining to me, Puja, is a duet by Jagjit and Chitra Singh. And I guess we were talking about earlier, Jagjit Singh passed away 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this was him and his wife singing the song Tumko Dekha To.
Ye Khayal Aaya.
Let's hear that one.
तुमको देखा तो ये ख्याल आया जिंदगी धूप तुम घना साया तुमको देखा तो ये ख्याल जाओगे तो सोचेंगे خیال آیا ہم جسے گنگنا نہیں سکتے ہم جسے گنگنا نہیں سکتے وقت نے ایسا گیت کیوں گایا وقت نے ایسا گیت کیوں گایا زندگی دھوپ تم گھنا سایا تم کو دیکھا تو یہ خیال آیا تم کو دیکھا تو یہ خیال آیا
A beautiful selection there, sung by Jagjit Singh and Chitra Singh, his wife, duet. And Pooja, you were just explaining that the actor that song was picturized on is
Farooq Sheikh. He's going to be introducing me at the South Asian Film Fest. And also the ghazal that you just heard, it was composed by Kuldeep Singh, very, 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 very good music director. Back in India, he did some very good songs back then. So,
and it's interesting how all these composers and singers, they're all connected. It's sort of a big family of musicians, and you studied under Jagjit Singh,
yes,
and you're friends with the composer in real life. I guess what a wonderful tradition that you're connected to and bringing to our airwaves here in Richmond. So again, thank you. And I just want to ask, just to finish off the interview in a certain way, I guess, what are you up to lately? What do you have planned for the future? And what are some other exciting things happening in your life that are inspiring you?
Well, I plan to do more and more live shows. I want to keep the ghazal alive. And I feel at times that it might be, not disappearing, but slowly disintegrating because of, the Bollywood songs and especially with Jagjit Uncle gone. I mean, his music is always going to be alive, but we need to keep the tradition going. And I want to make sure that I, live up to it and keep continuing.
Yeah.
The ghazalera.
Why is this music so important to you?
It is. Well, for me, poetry is very close to me, and
as opposed to shallow pop music.
I do listen to all kinds of music. For me, either music is good or bad.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Not, I wouldn't classify it as. If it's pop or it's rock, I don't understand. It's not good. I wouldn't do that. But for me, words hold a lot of weight. And in a certain manner, as I have, heard ghazals over and over my life, with a depth that they have, they hold. And some of the writers that they write in a certain way, I really appreciate. Like Muzaffar Varsi, there's Faiz Ahmed Faiz. Their poetry is Gulzar, of course, Javed Akhtar. These are very, very good writers. And
when you hear their poetry sometimes, do you ever think, like, how could someone come up with something that brilliant?
Yeah, exactly. I do. I do very many, many times. And I have, I think it's inspired me to start writing on my own as well. So I have experimented a little bit with writing.
So later. Maybe that would be another thing you'll be doing more of in
more
the future,
it,
is
yes.
writing your own
Yes,
lyrics.
And making my own compositions as
wow.
well.
Great.
Yeah.
And then your other full-time job is mother?
Is to be a mother of three children.
And they're learning from you and hearing music from you all the time?
Yes, I have two girls and a little boy, so it's very interesting, you know, when I'm practicing at home and it's like a musical environment. So they're sort of embedded in it.
Lucky.
And they like to be part of it, which is, you know, I'm lucky. In that sense, that they
have an interest in it.
Right, they are interested. And even the 2.5-year-old son, he's all over it.
Really?
When I have
How
the
so?
Yeah, I have the tanpura, the electronic tanpura on, and I would just, you know, do my riyaz, meaning practice of notes in the morning. And if he's playing around with his toy or something, he wouldn't sit down and learn, obviously, for an instruction because he doesn't have that attention span.
Yeah,
but if he's playing around, he'll just sing along
and
follow what I'm singing. And it's amazing to see that he is so good with the notes.
Hmm.
I mean, he'll actually match the notes
while
I'm singing. And it's very interesting.
Does he, is he talking it too?
He is talking too much now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but the music seems to reach, you know, even at such an early age, it's amazing that
he's,
music.
If I'm playing the synthesizer, he's all over it. He wants to try all different tracks. He wants to try the different beats, the notes, and then he'll try to sing along with it. So he's very, experimental that way.
And your other two kids?
Both girls. They're older.
They have both performed?
They performed last year during the summer at an Indian cultural event. That's also available on my YouTube channel. They're displaying a song in Yemen, Rag Yemen, again. It was sung by, not that one, the one above. There's one all the way above.
Okay, all
right. That one right
this
there.
One?
Yeah. The Jugalbandi is like a, three or four people singing at the same time and, you know, singing different things about the same song.
Oh, cool.
So improvising at the same time.
And they sang with you and Amar.
Yes.
Oh, great. We have to play that.
Yeah, sure.
Why don't we play it?
I love Sri Lucky Japani. I like this one. But to every Bollywood number, there is a classical bass. And that's what this Jugalbandi is going to introduce to everybody. So we are going to have a unique blend of Bollywood song into Hindustani classical music with Yaman Kalyan as the bass rag. In this composition, the singers will demonstrate various elements of Indian music in their singing, and on the harmonium, along with the several complex combinations of musical notations, we have puja. Amar will accompany on the Indian percussion, which is called tabla. So our Indian drums are called as tabla. Where he will complement this musical masterpiece by transitioning from simple 8-beat keherva to complex beats in a classical rhythmic cycle of 16 beats, which is called teenta. So 8 beats was keherva, is getting transitioned into 16 beats, which is teenta. The two young ladies, Vidhi and Sunidhi, have worked very hard on this Jugalbandi performance, which has been taught by their mother and teacher, Pooja Talwar, and we hope you appreciate this. So please give it up for this unique Jugalbandi stage.
They're going to be testing the mic a little bit and start very shortly. It was at the Taste of India last year, the Indian community. So there's a lot of people, just like the Punjabi Mela yesterday.
So many cultural events.
Yes.
Desi, Indian, Pakistani cultural events here in Richmond. A lot of people don't realize this.
Yeah.
It's great.
going to start now.
Hello. So this is Pooja and Amar and your two daughters.
Mm-hmm. Vidhi and Sunidhi.
Hello.
Sama te kisi.
I really appreciate you coming up and talking about the music. We got to hear both of them sing, though, your wonderful daughters. And it's just great that you're, you know, it's like a family thing, you know, including all the family members in the concert.
Like I said, I'm really lucky that they are interested in, you know, learning and singing more of the music side of things.
Yeah. So it's great. They're lucky to have you. You're lucky to have them.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, this is, you know, part of my favorite thing about this radio station is that we can invite talented guests like yourself to mm-hmm. come in and explain a style of music to people that maybe, you know, people out there have learned something new about ghazal. Maybe it might have been the first time some of our listeners have heard ghazal. So hopefully you listening out there tonight are inspired by this program. And I want to thank you again, Pooja, for coming up to WRIR and sharing your music and your knowledge with our audience. And
thank you, Carl. I really appreciate it. And it's my pleasure being here.
And also, again, I'll just repeat, it's an open invitation anytime you and Amara want to come up. And even your two daughters, if you guys want to come up and sing
sure.
Live in the studio, maybe next time we'll get you to do that.
Okay.
Okay, well, you're listening to If Music Could Talk. This has been a great show, and thanks for listening. We've got about 5 minutes left before Stunna Development, and we'll finish off with Bor Baye Pangat from Satyam Shivam Sundaram, sung by Lata Mangeshkar.
तो ये जाने पनिया भरने के